Well, this weekend always brings good memories. And some of you are like, what do you mean? I got an hour less of sleep. I didn't wake up on time. I'm tired. For those of us with kids, our kids are miserable because they got 1 hour less of sleep. Last night, Jen set the clock ahead an hour at like 6 o'clock. So for the rest of the night, I thought it was an hour later than it really was, which frustrated me, because then once it hit 10 o'clock, I was like, I'm tired. Clock says 10, I'm tired. I looked at my phone, it's 9 o'clock. What's going on? Anyways. A number of years ago, about 25 years ago, this was the weekend that I first stepped a foot into a church building. It was daylight savings weekend. I showed up an hour late to church for the first service, 45 minutes early for the second service. I remember walking in those doors and there was a gentleman by the name of Elmer Friesen sitting in the foyer, and he looked at me and he said, young man, come sit with me. That was a moment that changed my life forever. Elmer's now, I think, 101 years old. Still at the church, still supporting, still walking with Jesus. And just to be a part of that story is incredible. So, this weekend holds special memories for me, and it's a reason why I'm here today with you. So, we are looking at the church defined and looking at who we are versus who we are supposed to be, right? There's a lot of things that we do in the church that maybe are negative habits that we've come into, negative things that we approach, and there's ways that we're supposed to actually live our lives that aren't actually a reflection of maybe who we are today. So last week I started with the question, what are you complaining about? It's a great question for us to ask. And this week I'm going to ask this question, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? And I think this question is critical to what we're going to talk about today as a whole, because I think it is the precursor to what leads us to do the very thing that we're going to talk about today. So what are you afraid of? Proverbs 16:28 says, a perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue is the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Today we're talking about the word gossip. Oh, that's a fun one, isn't it? Gossip. And when we don't think we do it, we actually do it probably more often than we think. And you may be wondering how that question, what are you afraid of, is in alignment with this idea of gossip. Well, I think what we are afraid of most is people thinking something differently than us that's actually reality. Let me get ahead of the words. Let me build myself up and build others or tear others down so that I look better. And so we're going to look still in the Old Testament. Actually, the passage is we're in Numbers 12 this week. Last week we were in Numbers 11. We're going to stick with Numbers because I love the book and the story that it's telling for us. So Numbers 12 today. And the first idea for us this morning is that gossip tends to begin with a sliver of truth. Let me give you just a little glimpse into what the truth is, into somebody's world. And then let me undermine that. And we're going to see that in Numbers chapter 12 right away here. Numbers 12 verse 1, Miriam and Aaron began to talk to Moses because of his, or began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. Now we need to remember that this is coming directly after Israel was complaining about the food they were receiving from God, the manna. They asked for meat. God gave them meat, and then he gave them more meat. And then he put a plague onto them to say, you're going to get what you want, but you're also going to get a little bit more. And now they're still in this space, and now people are beginning to talk against Moses, their leader, the one who led them from out of slavery, the one who led them to where they are today because of a Cushite wife. What's a Cushite wife? He married in today's kind of geography, he married an Ethiopian woman. He married somebody out of his tribe. There's the sliver of truth, right? They're telling the truth about who Moses is and who Moses married, and yet they're going to use that against him to try to spread dissension amongst the people. What Moses did was wrong, they're saying. How dare he marry somebody outside of the tribe? It would be, in today's world, an interracial marriage. Is that a little bit uncomfortable for us now? Maybe a little bit? And this is what Miriam and Aaron begin to do to create credibility for themselves as they're speaking against Moses. Look what he's done. Have you been in those kind of conversations before? Have you been the one beginning those conversations before? Have you been the person that those conversations are about? The reality is all of us have been in every single role of this stage of what gossip looks like. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife. Because he married somebody different, because he married somebody not a part of the tribe of Israel, because he was bringing somebody else in. They go on. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? They asked. Hasn't he also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this. It's quite interesting to see the language and the reasons that they are using to draw dissension among the people. They're trying to remind people that God does speak to other people, but God's response is incredible in the next section of this passage. Do you know what? In some ways, Miriam and Aaron made their complaint sound really spiritual. Didn't they? We do that too, every once in a while. We try to make things seem spiritual so that we look better as we start talking about other people. And I'd say in the church world, gossip often hides behind our spiritual language, our way of doing things. But the root, and this is where the fear comes in, the root is pride or jealousy. I'm afraid I'm going to lose control if I don't speak against somebody else. And maybe we don't say those words consciously. Maybe we don't even think about it consciously, but the root issue that we are all facing is this idea of pride or jealousy that leads us to gossip about somebody else. And when we see in this passage, God is speaking directly through Moses to the people of Israel. And when these individuals start gossiping about Moses, start building that dissension within the Israelites towards Moses, what they're doing is saying our opinions about what's happening, our position about amongst all of the work that's going on, we aren't happy with that. We aren't happy that we're not the ones in front with the staff leading Israel to where they need to go. God, you are elevating Moses to a level that he shouldn't be, and we should be the ones in that place. Remember last week we said complaining is rejecting God's provision in our lives? Gossip is another step further into that. I'm not happy with where God has placed me. I'm not happy with the person or persons ahead of me. And so I'm going to do what I can to attack their character so that people begin to follow me. Here's the second thing gossip does. Gossip distorts reality. Verse 3, now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. And I find this interesting that this is included. Because Moses is the one who wrote Numbers. Yeah. Think about that. Most scholars believe Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, right? And they put this in. Now, Moses was a very humble man. I just find it interesting. Anyways, we'll move on from it. At once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. So the three of them went out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance of the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. When the two of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Didn't they just say, God speaks to us too? Look at the response that God gives them. Yes, I speak to other people. When prophets come, I speak to them, but I speak to them through visions and dreams, and typically there needs to be an interpreter to interpret those visions or dreams. But to Moses, I speak plainly. I speak to him as you would be speaking to one another. I speak directly. I speak with clarity. I give him the direction he needs to have. If that's the case, Miriam and Aaron, why are you not afraid of speaking against my servant? It's a sobering moment for the two of them. When we think of our relationship with Jesus in this space and in this time, and we speak against somebody else, and we hear those words that we are called by name by the Most High, why are we not afraid to speak against a son or daughter of the Most High? Why are we not afraid to speak negatively about children of God? Why? Because I matter so much more than anybody else. Now, if you take that phrase just in by itself, it'd be a pretty bad thing to say. But in the context of everything we're talking about, that is the posture, the perspective that we take when we speak against other people, because I myself am more important than anybody else. God reminds both Miriam and Aaron in this moment that Moses has a unique calling on his life and in his journey that they don't have. And yet jealousy is raging at this time. Jealousy is manifesting itself amongst Miriam and Aaron to say, we want what Moses has. God speaks to us too. God, would you speak to us? I will not speak to you the same way I speak to Moses. I will not lead you the same way I lead Moses. I will not give you the same responsibility that I give Moses, because Moses in himself is unique in the calling that he's been given. Do you notice something else? And this is something that we struggle with doing. When we find out that we are being talked about behind our backs, what do we typically do? We go into defense mode. Let me tell you every reason why this individual is wrong about me. Let me tell you every reason why this individual should be talked about behind their back instead. What does Moses do? Nothing. Moses waits for God to call on them, and he goes when God calls him. And who defends Moses? God himself defends Moses. Oftentimes when we believe we're being attacked by others, we feel like we have to put the defenses up and we have to go on the offense. Scripture paints a different story for us. Scripture tells us that the opinion of God is the opinion that really matters. The defense of God is the defense that really matters. When widespread gossip begins to happen, and especially in a church setting, we begin to lose our ability to accomplish the mission God has set out for us. Why? Because we're too focused inward. We're too focused at everybody else's imperfections amongst us that we're not able to move forward with one another despite the imperfections that we carry. See, all these moments with Moses and the Israelites bring moments of halting the mission that God has sent them on. Where are we being halted as a church family? Where are we missing out on the mission God has placed on us because we're too focused on making sure that our jealousy, our position, our power is at the forefront of what we're doing? Next thing, the results of gossip. Numbers 12:9 says, "The anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them." The anger of the Lord burned against them and he left them. What happens when things burn? They're gone. They're ash. They're gone. The Lord's anger burned against Miriam and Aaron. When the cloud lifted from above the tent, Miriam's skin was leprous. It became as white as snow. Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had a defiling skin disease. There's a lesson in here for both Aaron and Miriam, and for us as well. And it's not just the sense that God gave her a sickness, but what God gave her was a representation of what gossip does in a grouping of people. It's a sickness. It distorts a community. Gossip infects relationships. It isolates people. It damages communities. As we'll see with Miriam, she's actually cast out of the community for a period of time. Let's be clear. We've all been through this. We've all seen it happen. We've been a part of it. Likely, we've actually been a part of it right here. See, when we look at the church and when we look at what people think of the church, this is what they see in the church. Like last week, they see a grouping of people that complain about everything. Now when people look into the church, they see a grouping of people who gossip against one another, who don't actually showcase what true community, what true biblical community looks like. And sometimes when I ask the question or I sit back and I say, I wonder why people don't come into the church. Why aren't people coming in droves when we have the message of the gospel, when we have the message of Jesus, the Savior, the Lord? And oftentimes it's because the representation that we bring to them isn't one of a reflection of the gospel, it's a reflection of humanity. So what are we going to do about that? What is that going to begin to look like in our congregation, in our church family, to then change what people perceive to be the church? This isn't a fun thing to talk about. But what seems like small conversations, what seems like a small comment here or there, can lead to major spiritual consequences for us. A little while ago in our home, we were on a 9-month renovation plan that's now 5 years in the making. And I was upstairs one day, and we're not renovating the upstairs of the house, just to be clear. But I was upstairs one day in one of the bathrooms, and I was looking in the shower, and I grabbed one of the tiles, and I peeled it off the wall. I was like, okay, let's see the second one. The second one came off. Got behind there, and there's black mold just infesting that bathroom. I was like, oh, good. Remove the shower. Get all the black mold out. Start looking around other places in the bathroom. Remove some molding. Oh, there's more. And it just keeps coming, keeps infesting until we gut the entire bathroom back to the studs. And then we look at the flooring. We say, well, we have to do this too. And now that begins a whole other project that leads into three other rooms. And now we're renovating the upstairs. But oftentimes we don't see the effects of the mold happening. And they begin to get to other areas. They begin to seep. They begin to infect. And then you have to rip it all out and start from scratch. Gossip is like that for us. It often starts small. You don't even notice it, really. You say one negative thing about somebody or something going on. And then somebody else has something else. And it keeps growing among. And then you get to a point of there's no turning back now. And you need to begin to rip everything away to get back to the foundation of who we truly are. And I'm not saying that's where we're necessarily at. But I can tell you that that is the direction that we are headed in a lot of ways. If we don't figure out how to eliminate the gossip from us. So what do we need? Well, I'd say we need a kingdom-oriented posture towards people. And Moses gives us the perfect reflection of what that looks like. Aaron, and he said to Moses, "Please, my Lord, I ask you not to hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed." Just imagine this conversation now. Just verses prior, Aaron and Miriam are talking badly about Moses for who he is, what he's done, all of these things. God brings all three of them into the tent together, and then he makes Miriam sick. And all of a sudden, Aaron is like, "Hey, Moses, would you care to help us now?" Oh, if we were in Moses' shoes, what would be our posture towards Aaron in that moment? Frustration? Anger? Hurt? Ready to fight? How dare you ask me to help you when you are just trying to tear me apart in front of everybody else? How dare you try to ask me to help when all you wanted to do was take my position? How dare you ask me to help, you ungrateful brat? Moses was kind of a mentor to Aaron. Aaron continues, "Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb with its flesh half eaten away." Aaron's scared in this moment. Aaron's kind of realized through the conversation with God that God has Moses, that is, like, there's a special position for Moses in this time. Aaron's scared of what's going to happen to Miriam. They've likely seen the effects of leprosy amongst people around them, and Aaron doesn't want to see that for Miriam, because just before this, Miriam was perfectly healthy, perfectly content in some ways in her humanity. And yet in this moment, Miriam's being cast out as a leper. Aaron's realized his sin towards Moses and towards God. And here's Moses' response. Moses cried out to the Lord, "Please, God, heal her. Moses takes a moment to take all his pride away in here, the position that many of us probably wouldn't take in times like these. I'm going to rip my pride away and I'm going to stand before my Lord and say, God, please heal her. God, please take this away from her. The route that Moses could have taken, that we would all agree that he should have taken, he decided a different posture. He decided to have that kingdom-oriented posture, that Miriam's health and wellness, Miriam's position before God was more important than Moses standing up for what he probably believed would be right to do, and that was to protect himself. Instead, Moses stood for the kingdom. Moses stood for his relationship with God. Moses, in this moment, took his direct connection with God and prayed for somebody, one of his adversaries. In some ways, one of his enemies. In some ways, somebody who didn't want the best for Moses, but wanted to take it all for themselves. So the Lord replied to Moses, if her father had spit in her face, would she not have been in disgrace for 7 days? Confine her outside the camp for 7 days. After that, she can be brought back. So Miriam was confined outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move on till she was brought back. Kingdom-oriented posture is all about living a grace-filled life. It's really about not wronging somebody who's wronged you. It's not about seeking retribution for somebody else. It's not about, if somebody talks bad about me, I'm going to talk bad about them to make sure that people still think highly of me. It's about allowing God to defend you, not you defending yourself amongst everybody else. And here's the cure for us. Few things. One, if we have been speaking negatively about somebody else, if we've been tearing somebody else's character down, if we've been allowing ourselves to get involved in these conversations with other people, we need to seek repentance. We need to seek repentance from God, and we also need to seek repentance from those individuals, forgiveness from those individuals for speaking badly about them behind their backs. Two, when those moments start coming into play into our world, when we start hearing things about other people, we need to stand up to those words and stop it from happening. How do we do that? By building them up. Speaking words that build one another up. In the midst where people are tearing down others, we stand in and say, yeah, but. Did you know about this about them? Do you see this gifting in them that God has given them? Do you see them exercising who they are in Christ? It's really easy to tear people down. It's really easy to build ourselves up. We need to stand in the gap for one another. And I'd say the third thing is simply we need to go to God in prayer. For some of us, we've become so accustomed to speaking down about other people that we don't know actually how to get out of it. And there needs to be some healing that goes on within our own lives, within our own worlds, within our own hearts, so that we can be reconciled with one another. The tongue has the power of life or death. The words that we use, the words that we say, have the power to either bring somebody up or tear somebody away. The question is, what are we going to do with those words? How are we going to talk about people? How are we going to treat people? How are we going to position ourselves as Moses did and not go on the defense when in all accounts in our world today, we should be? How are we going to let our lives connected to Jesus defend who we are? Because it's God is the one who's going to be the one defending us against the words and postures that other people take towards us. So there's a couple things going on here for us today. As we move forward together, as a community of faith, one, are we going to be a church that gossips? Or are we going to be a church that brings life into those that are in this space with us? Two, when we are talked about, when we find that out, because church, let me tell you something, we find out, we hear it, because not everybody is okay with talking bad about other people. And it eventually finds its way to the individuals. And when that does happen, are we going to stand up and defend ourselves? Or are we going to allow God to defend us? Are we going to stand up and pray for those who persecute us, those who speak badly about us? Are we going to pray for health for them, for wellness, that God would continue to work in their lives as Moses did? Or are we going to take the posture that far too often we take? In our humanity, often separate from what God wants us to do. We are defined by reputations that we don't often participate in as a church family. But we have the ability to change that. With the help and transformation of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can change the reputations that we carry in our community. One step at a time, one moment at a time, and it's through having a kingdom-oriented posture. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, as we sang the song earlier, as the deer panteth for the water, God, I pray that our souls would long and thirst after you. There's too many things going on around us that we can get just bogged down and we can get distracted with. We can get initiated into. But Lord, I just ask that you would reveal in our hearts right in this moment where we're holding a grudge against somebody else, where we've been talking bad about somebody else. Regardless of how we've tried to justify it, God, that we would seek repentance from you, that we would seek reconciliation from you, and that we would seek forgiveness from the different parties there. Jesus, you have offered us incredible forgiveness for being separated from you. So Jesus, I pray that we would offer that same forgiveness to individuals who may have wronged us, who may have talked about us, who may have been negative about our character, any of those things. Jesus, you are good. And we answer your call to follow after you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Why don't you stand one more time with us as